Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I say when there is respect, there is no need for reconciliation. So I would ask that we all remember to stay on that circle, to stay connected to this natural world, to stay in the place where we were intended to be, and don't let that ego drag you into a place that causes unbalance and disharmony.
Bless his heart for trying. Chief Dan Helms did the invocation at the Milton City Council agenda review, and I like Dan. He's a good guy. Talked to him many times. He's trying to bring a little bit of order and decorum and love and respect to the... I love that line, by the way, that, you know, there's no need for reconciliation when there's been respect, right? Reconciliation is when you break faith, break respect. So, you know, good for him for trying. You know, Heather Lindsay did not, Mayor Heather Lindsay did not read what had become, I thought, her standard in warning of no slander, no slander, no slander, no aggression. I think is basically how it had gone. She went with, she improvised it this time around, didn't read the script.
And just as a reminder, we have a big group tonight. Just please remember that we want to listen to one another with respect, just as Chief Skyhorse was saying. Let's keep our egos out of it and let's listen to one another tonight. That means one person speaks at a time, and the charter places the responsibility in me to help us keep that order and keep track of whose turn it is to speak.
Yeah, okay, fine. Let's keep the ego out of it. So, did they? Well, not exactly. Now, the particular issue at play here doesn't really matter all that much except to the players involved. There's this long-standing back and forth about whether to have the ability for people who are not in the historic district to opt their homes into the historic district, and it's a voluntary program, and there's been a lot of bickering, and I will be honest, even as much as I follow the city of Milton politics, I can't for the life of me figure out exactly why people are so upset on either side of this, but they are. Okay, and so it has become a thing. Vernon Compton, former city councilman, and usually kind of a laid-back dude. I mean, he's a pretty calm guy most of the time.
Good evening. My name is Vernon Compton, and I'm a resident and investor in Milton. I love the heritage, history, and historic buildings of the community, and I believe many others do also. It's part of what drew me here. So I find it disheartening to constantly hear in city meetings from people who do not care or support Milton history or do not live, have a business, or invest in our community, continually work to tear down and prevent projects and programs brought to you that improve Milton and provide something good to Milton residents.
Not just tired of it, but
being disrespectful over and over to community volunteers and City of Milton board members that you select, all volunteers themselves, is wrong.
Tired of people being rude to the board members, to the city council members.
Especially hypocritical to me is when they call you out for the need to always be respectful
to the mayor
and set a good example, when I see they are continually doing just the opposite. They say the right things, but they don't practice what they preach.
The rude people are the ones saying everybody ought to be nice until they're rude.
It paints a negative image of Milton, even though it's not one that I truly feel is representative of this city.
So, again, you have to understand, Vernon is like, never says an ill word of nothing. I mean, every once in a while, I've seen him get upset, but it's pretty rare, okay? Heather Lindsay, the mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Compton. And after the meeting at some point, Mr. Compton, if there's someone in particular who has been disrespectful and you want to let me know who they are, I would be glad to follow up on that because I'm not at every meeting. So if there's something that's happened that you want to bring to my attention, please do.
So tell me in secret who the bad people are, and I will do whatever needs to be done to make sure they don't touch you there again. That's basically what she's right. So this got just kind of weirdly out of hand. Renee Johnmyer later in the meeting, again, the subject doesn't much matter, but it was Vernon Compton she was talking about.
One of the things I talked about was the Blackwater Heritage Foundation. And there was a city council member that was sitting and was voting on money to be given to that particular foundation.
That's Vernon.
And they were the spouse of the person who was getting the money. And nobody would say it. Nobody would say, everybody knows it, but nobody will say it.
Everybody knows there's corruption in the city and nobody's going to name it.
I think it's not really the grants, but who keeps getting them over and over and over again. I think that is the problem.
You have these like business improvement grants, facade improvement, that kind of stuff that, again, it's one of those like, even as somebody who's tried to pay attention a lot, it just seems like way more fire and heat and smoke than is deserving of the underlying thing. But, you know, people are trying to improve their businesses and, you know, people get upset because it seems like certain people get more than one of these things. And there's been a lot of fighting about that.
The ties that are connected with the city, with the county, with the money, with the tax dollars. It is just, it just baffles me. So I think that's where the frustration is, that everybody knows, but nobody will say it.
Everybody knows about all the bad stuff going on. Nobody's going to say it out loud. So not to be talked ill of without responding, Vernon Compton gets back up later on. And they've got this new format where you talk for 3 minutes in the beginning forum, 4 minutes on an agenda item, and then 3 minutes at the end on the forum, maximum per person. And so, you know, they're having this conversation, and Vernon Compton doesn't want to be maligned, and so he responds.
When I started on the council, one of the things that was made very clear to me by the city attorney was removal of myself from all the organizations that I had served on. So within that day, I was appointed and completed within a week, I had removed myself from every organization that I volunteered on so I could devote myself fully to the city of Milton and the city of Milton committees and boards. So that's what ethics and morals are about. She did bring up at that meeting and made some statements that were untrue.
This is about...
And of course, you can go back and see this on video. And then others joined and laughed at me and my family. So that's fine for her to do, but her statements were untrue then, and they're untrue now.
And let me assure you, this is the low-grade heat from the meeting. this is just preamble. I mean, this is like, just so you get a sense of the tone, okay? This was not a meeting. It's so funny when this meeting was over, I got several phone calls. I will say multiple phone calls from people saying, Andrew, you know how you were worried a little bit on the air that maybe the Days of Our Milton season had been canceled or would become boring or would go away. You wouldn't be able to do the segment anymore. To which I say, well, I do. I mean, I kind of hope, weirdly, it's the most entertaining thing on the show. But I will tell you that if it went away and the trade-off was that the Milton City Council became, you know, functional, more functional and less of all this drama, I would want that for the city of Milton. Because it's like when, you know, when the police come on and there's nothing to report. Yesterday, Bob Johnson talked to him briefly before, you know, we do our interview. And he's like, I got nothing. I'm like, good, let's talk next week. You know, like, that's good. That's a good problem. The good problem of not having problems, right? So, you know, some boards and councils manage to function well and some are Milton. So, that's just the way it is. But like I said, that was really just Act 1. Trust me. Acts 2, 3, and 4. Oh, yeah. 4. Trust me. Throughout the show, we'll give you a little sprinkle. A little bit of drama as you just kind of get your day going. And you can always think to yourself, no matter how dysfunctional my workplace is, at least I don't work at the Milton City Council. You know, just keep your blessings in mind. And things can always get better. And they can also always get worse. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
This fall in Pensacola, Florida, celebrate 10 years of FUFU. This year promises to be bigger, funner, and, well, artier. Engaging art installations, livelier music, more amazing cuisine, and a vibrant culture that's contagious. Discover it all this fall. Come celebrate 10 years of FUFU Fest, November 2nd through the 13th in Pensacola, Florida. Start planning at FUFUFest.com.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jeep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Got it.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Punch! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone!
Picked off! Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Swallow from Javier. Seager hits a high fly ball. Deep right field. A bomb in the first. Here's his payoff. Garcia gets up on it. Drives it to left. Back it goes. Off the wall. Carter read it well. Here he comes. 2-0 Texas in the first. Adolis Garcia's tear continues.
Adolis Garcia. That's the name you want to know, because as I play the rest of these clips, you're going to be kind of amazed if you did not watch this Rangers-Astros game last night. That was 2-0 after Corey Seager drilled a home run, and Adolis Garcia missed what would have been his 5th home run of the series, I think. No, yes, I think that's right. would have been, he missed it by about 3 feet off the Crawford boxes and left. If you know Minute Maid Stadium, well, at least it used to be called Minute Maid. I don't know if it still is. Anyway, where the Astros play. I know it from back when they were in the National League, you know. Anyway, there's this little outcropping of boxes in the left field that's, you know, like a short home run porch that, you know, left-handed batters have, or right-handed batters have always taken great advantage of. Anyway, he barely misses a home run. He stood there at home and watched it hit the wall, and he's like, oh, I got to run it first. Could have been a double, but doesn't matter. Whatever. So that drove in a second one. That was 2-0 top of the first. Top of the third, Adolis Garcia again up to bat.
Garcia starts the third and drives one the other way. Down the line, and it's fair. He's got another. He does. Adolis Garcia owning October.
So sick. To right field, the power this guy's got is amazing. In the top of the fourth, with one man out and two men on second and third.
His 2-0 is over the plate and grounded to the left side of base hit. Seager's in. Here comes Carter. He'll score it on a throw. Adolis Garcia is 3-for-3 and has knocked in 4. It's 8-2 Texas.
3-for-3, a home run, an almost home run, and a single. And that was made it 8-1 at that time, the top of the fourth. Top of the eighth, he's up again.
Impressive. Tom, take it away.
Here's the fly ball. Hold on 1 second. Back goes Brantley to the wall. And Adolis Garcia has hit another home run.
Good Lord.
Impossible. His fifth in the last four games. He owns Houston.
Yeah, he goes 4-for-5 on the night with two home runs, an almost home run, and like seven RBI. I don't know. I didn't even look up the numbers. So ridiculous. So they won. They advanced. That was the game seven. Astros are out. The Rangers are in. I will tell you that the one place I have a little bit of socialist in me is in sports, and I feel bad for the Rangers that they've never won a World Series. I feel bad, honestly. Though it was the greatest World Series I've ever watched, I feel bad for beating them in 2011 because it's so discouraging to be down to your last man and winning in Game 6, and then, you know, David Freese, and then David Freese again, and then the Cardinals win. So anyway, I'm hoping for them. Diamondbacks, they beat the Phillies last night. Trounced them. First inning was all they needed. Three runs, and they weren't run away with it 5-1 in the end. So they got one more game today to figure out who wins it. That one is knotted up at 3-3. 526 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The House hearing from 8 candidates for Speaker as the race now enters its third week. A Speaker forum was held last night to hear from those who filed to run, with an internal election scheduled for today. Former President Trump's civil fraud trial resuming in Manhattan today. They had a bit of a COVID delay, apparently. Ex-lawyer Michael Cohen expected on the witness stand. And a strange story, an off-duty pilot now facing 83 counts of attempted murder for trying to crash an Alaska Airlines flight. The airline says this was a flight that was headed from Everett, Washington to San Francisco on Sunday, operated by Horizon Air, and this flight apparently had to be diverted to Portland. Police say the suspect, Joseph Emerson, was sitting on a flight deck jump seat. He tried to pull the fire extinguisher handles, which would have shut off the engines of the plane and caused a crash. Apparently, though, he was subdued by the flight crew on that flight, handcuffed to the seat. He was headed to San Francisco, where he was scheduled to be on the flight crew of a 737.
See, that's to me, like, it seems like a scary story that, you know, he's in the cockpit. He tries to pull these fire brakes to cut off fuel to the engines to make them die and everybody else. Although, you know, there's some, I was listening to a John Pickens talk last night with Joe Ford on Pensacola Right Now. And, you know, they were talking about how John's got some flight experience and, you know, well, the plane could still glide and, you know, you could get the plane engines reignited maybe. I mean, there's a lot of alternative. It wouldn't have just, you know, fallen out of the sky like a brick or anything like that. But, you know, scary to imagine what did happen, what the pilots had to do to subdue this guy in the jump seat inside right. The cockpit. But then also pretty terrifying to imagine that, you know, hey, an hour later, 2 hours later, you know, he was just going to be the guy. Flying a plane. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that is just beyond, you know, anything I've heard.
It's just not the kind of thing that you're expecting to, you know, to hear about on a Monday afternoon. And not to make light of the fact that, you know, 80-plus people almost got killed, but it does remind you of a certain scene.
Just kidding.
You can make the joke because ain't nobody got hurt. But, oh, my God, you know. Only this time it was a guy pulling the plug in the plane rather than a guy on the ground, right? So
right, absolutely.
All right, David, were you done? I'm sorry. I kind of interrupted
you.
Yeah,
no, that was all I had.
All right, weird story for sure. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, my God, did you see about the pileup in Louisiana on I-55? Holy smokes. And I don't mean use that expression lightly because it was fog. Fog and apparently smoke from a wildfire, or at least a burn, that combined to create what you had, like a 100 car pileup or so, 150 car pileup, 25 injured, 7 people killed on an elevated portion of I-55 going through Louisiana, where, I mean, trucks were on fire, cars were on fire. It was not accessible. Think about the Bayway, kind of like that. Or think about even like well, I-110 is not a good example because it's 6 lanes. You had more space. This is a 2 lane in either direction. And so, you know, cars filled the road and ran into each other in the fog. And so many, I mean, you got John Bel Edwards is calling people to donate blood, for goodness sakes, as a result of this thing. You know, first responders couldn't get there. the one picture that I was looking at that kind of painted it was that you literally had a ladder truck on the side down on the ground using the ladder to get first responders up to the wreckage on the overpass. My God, wow. And, you know, it's, look, so, you know, the rule is you keep driving at as fast, when it gets to where you can't see, don't stop. But go slowly and hope for the best. It's the stopping that gets people killed. Because the people behind you don't know you stopped, right? And then everybody gets in trouble.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Hamas terrorists in Gaza have released two more hostages taken from Israel. Two Israeli women, 79-year-old Nurit Cooper and 85-year-old Yoheved Lifshitz, her daughter Sharon.
My mom is saying that they were very friendly towards them and that they took care of them, that they were given the medicine.
She says she was beaten when she was taken through tunnels that look like a spider web and fed one meal a day. The women's husbands were not released. An American mother and daughter were released on Friday. The Israeli military says Hamas still has about 220 hostages. House Republicans meet this morning for a secret ballot to elect a new House Speaker nominee. There are eight candidates. Pennsylvania Republican Dan Muser dropped out.
I have other commitments that I want to adhere to, and largely leading President Trump's campaign in Pennsylvania. And we have great candidates.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 64. Partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. And, well, we're not a whole lot closer to having a new speaker than we were a week ago. But the man who led the charge to oust Kevin McCarthy isn't too worried right now.
The normal powers that be are not in control of Washington, D.C. right now. We have got a historic opportunity to democratize power, to put the needs of the American people at the forefront again. I can't wait to see what the next step is, and I'm really, really excited about what it could mean for really reshaping the rules in a deeply corrupt system.
And Congressman Matt Gaetz there, he says eight Republican colleagues made their pitches at a forum last night. It remains to be seen if any of them have enough support among the entire party to secure the votes needed. For now, there is an internal vote expected later today. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons is shedding some light on what turned out to be an elaborate heist at a Family Dollar store over the weekend.
They certainly seemed like they were determined. They chose an area that was not visible from the roadway around to the back. We believe they used cutters. In fact, they went through a couple of different cutters, so it would have taken them some time to get a hole in the back of the business.
And investigators say Sunday morning, employees arrived at that Family Dollar on North Palafox. They discovered a hole in the back of the building. The thieves were able to break into the store's safe and ATM that were inside. Sheriff Simmons says they also cut the power and disabled the alarm. He says it was likely not their first time that the suspects have done something like this. Well, there's new top executive for BRACE, the Be Ready Alliance Coordinating for Emergencies. Dr. Nick Jackson, named as the CEO of that organization. He's got 24 years of public service experience in Santa Rosa and Escambia counties, held numerous leadership positions in the area over that time. BRACE is a nonprofit organization based here in Pensacola. The mission is to make communities more disaster resilient through public-private partnerships. The Florida Forest Service's Molino Forestry Station is having an open house this week. That's going to be open for visits on Thursday as part of Florida Forests Week. The Molino event will be held from 8:30 until 11:30 on Thursday morning. Visitors can get tips and tricks on improving forest land, learn more about the benefits of controlled burns, and learn more about services offered by the Florida Forestry Service. The Molino Forest Station is located on Highway 29. It's over under the fire tower there, just south of 196, if you want to go check that out. A Pensacola man now accused of shooting two people last week, 34-year-old Peyton Roberts, facing two counts of attempted murder and possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. Investigators say last Monday, one person was found shot inside of a trailer on Regents Avenue. A short time later, another gunshot victim was found in the road on Houston Avenue. Both victims are expected to survive. Roberts now being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. It's 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
A beautiful day today with temperatures near 80 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For your Wednesday, 79 degrees for your high with mostly sunny skies. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This nice pattern does continue as we go into Thursday with a high near 79. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 64 in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, 59 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Many businesses in our area ask us point blank, why do I need you, meaning ADX Digital, to do my business's digital marketing? Why can't I just do it on my own with Facebook and Google? Well, just because you can does not necessarily mean you should. The reality of it is digital marketing is constantly changing, growing, and evolving. Are you up to date with the latest advancements, trained in the latest technologies and platforms? Do you really have the time to design all the ads on your own, read the ebooks, plan the campaign, and begin to try to learn all of this stuff yourself? Aren't you already responsible for holding down the workload of 2-3 full-time jobs already? It's time you contact our trusted team of media experts at ADX Digital. We are your trusted team for community partnerships and radio marketing, and a comprehensive list of opportunities available for you in the online digital marketing space. We invite you to email us today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com to get started on your path to a digital marketing partnership.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 9, when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show talking about Suited Up, what it is, and how it benefits PSC students. Also up for discussion, CTE Month, what it is and its benefits, the Handshake Job Board, job fairs and internships, and so much more. This Friday at 9 to the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You didn't know that rock and roll burned, so you bought a candle and you lived and you learned. You got the rhythm, you got the speed. Mama's little baby likes it short and sweet. I said, Mama, I'm once bitten, twice shy, baby.
Did get, I believe it was 9 bids. 3 of the bidders, including the 2 lowest bidders, did not complete their paperwork as instructed in the initial instructions. This was a new process that we were using, and staff, we did have complaints from 2 of the bidders, the 2 lowest bidders, and based on that, staff decided it was best to reject these bids and go out for bids again.
All right, so the basic idea here is, I think it's the extension building that they're wanting to put a new roof on, and apparently they put out a request and 9 people bid. But 3 of them failed to complete the forms, and it's apparently a new process. The details here may not be all that important. What matters is that they have decided, that was DeVan Cook you heard explaining things, that they've now decided that, you know, even though the lowest bidder would normally be the one they would go with, that because 2 of the bidders complained, which apparently they were the lowest, but there was some uncertainty about the forms and or people just didn't do the job properly when other people did do the job properly, they're going to open it back up for rebidding. Kerry Smith's asking some questions.
How many bids did we have?
I believe total was 9.
We had 9, and 2 of them didn't complete the paperwork as
directed?
That's correct. Three, I believe, out of the nine.
Oh, three. So we had six that were able to follow directions. Okay.
Yes.
You see where he leans? It's like, so three couldn't, you know, write their name properly, and six of them managed to figure it out. So what's the problem? Why are we? Which is a fair question, right? We did it, and enough of them participated. But look, I respect Devan Cook. I respect staff at Santa Rosa County. If they say the proper thing to do is to rebid it, then I'm going to defer to that judgment unless I hear otherwise, some particular reason why. Ray Eddington, weirdly strident yesterday in the committee meeting.
Sometimes the lower bidder don't do a great job. Sometimes you got to go a little bit higher to get a better job. I'm not complaining, Mr. Coughlin, about how we're doing it. They need to fill out their paperwork. And if they need help, I'm pretty sure the staff will help them.
Sir, there was a text to one of the bidders that said they completed all the paperwork. Okay, there's evidence of that. So there was clearly miscommunication, and yes, this does cost. You would never pay $15,000 more if it was your house doing a bid, if they were all the same. And this is what people are sick of with government. Government does not have a problem with wasting money.
Never wanted to pass up an opportunity to make it about more than it's about and to grandstand a little bit. And that's, that's certainly James Calkins' brand of politics is, people are sick of all this nonsense. Okay, so anyway.
My thought was originally just go with the lowest bidder. But the staff made a good point. They said, well, no, we should, just redo it and give everybody a chance. Make sure it's clear, because there was clear evidence that it wasn't clear to some of these people who did the bids.
By the way, put a pin in that just for a moment, because we'll see about all that in just a second. But okay, he says that he's willing to go with what the staff did. And, by the way, even though he's saying that staff screwed up again, put a pin on that, the staff screwed up, maybe there's a benefit to doing it this way.
There's a potential that, yeah, they all know their bids now. But guess what? They're all going to go lower than the last one, and that'll save our county money. That's how to do it.
Yeah, let's take advantage of our screw-up, and let's get because, what he's saying is everybody sees now what the low bid is, and they will bid again lower. Okay, but again, I say put it on, put it in quotes or with an asterisk that staff screwed up, because Devan Cook, who I will just very mildly say I trust his judgment more than some other people's, okay, who might also have been talking just a moment ago.
I just want to make one thing clear. Our staff didn't make any mistakes.
Thank you.
The contractors that put in the bids did not follow the rules that were clearly stated, and say they were misinformed, but all the others were able to do that. We just felt like because it was a different process, it was better to just reject the bids.
Okay, so, and what it makes me wonder is, and only because this is where my brain goes, why are they fighting about this so much? And it makes me ask the question, well, who were the contractors and, well, who do they know? And, who are they friends with and who got lobbied? And I don't know the answer, and I'm not saying anybody did. It just kind of, it seemed like a weird thing for either Ray or James to pitch a fit about, because it seemed like such a boring thing. So anyway, Devan says nobody screwed up. Six people did it right. Three people just had trouble with the new process, and because it was a new process, we decided to be nice to everybody and, do this again, which, of course, is not as nice to the six who did it right the first time, especially to the, the ones who got the low bid, because they would have gotten the job. But okay, fine. So then, again, not to pass up an opportunity to condescend to staff, Commissioner James Calkins.
And when y'all decide to make your decision, my recommendation is pretend it's your house, and that you got $100,000 in your bank account, and what you would do, what you would truly do if it was your own property, your own money. That's all I ask this board to take in consideration.
Because otherwise they're just going to go waste people's money. That's how they do things. Staff is irresponsible, can't be trusted with them. They need to be scold reminded. They need to be Calkinsplained about how, this is the way you're supposed to do things, And just you watch it, because I'm watching. Okay, thanks. Commissioner, 544 on News Radio. Way to make it weird. 544 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man. This is a story. I hate to see this story come up because I don't love to say this on the air. I even had to think about this with Julio Diaz on, was it last Friday or the week before? But did you see the thing about Elon Musk? Apparently, when you have, he's got too much money. Look, I am not a, you know, take the money away from the people no matter how much they have it. I'm not the, like, people should only have so much money and, you know, a billion is too much for anybody. There are times, though, there are times, though, where you kind of look at somebody like an Elon Musk and you say, I'm not sure it's good for him to have all that money. I don't mean because, you know, he misuses it. I just mean, I think it messes you up as a person when you've got that much money. He yesterday offered $1 billion to Wikipedia. If I'm just going to say it, it's the 5 o'clock hour. If they will only change their name to Dickipedia. Brother, come on. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What a jag hole. I mean, just, you know, like, and I was reading an article about this in The Guardian. The British papers are often quite good. And The Guardian, the op-ed basically said, well, Elon Musk just doesn't like Wikipedia because it's a beneficial, crowdsourced, democratized source of reliable information. Unlike the top-down hierarchical dysfunctional dumpster fire that he's turned Twitter into, that can't make money and keeps requiring more and more money to keep it from making money. Like, you know, of course he hates Wikipedia. Wikipedia is kind of the best of the internet. And look, I know Wikipedia is not always reliable, but somehow or other, people have the idea like Wikipedia is just rampantly false. You get that if it were rampantly false, people just wouldn't use it. People use Wikipedia massively because it's generally very reliable. And, you know, when there's problems, they fix them. And it's crowdfunded, you know, and it takes a lot of money. You know, he's, well, how can it take so much money? Because they're always asking for money, right? Which is fine. You can either sell stuff or you can ask for money, and they prefer to ask for money. I mean, charities exist, right? You know, and you just make a decision about is, you know, do I want to give money? Do I want to look at that ad every time for asking for, I mean, you know, who cares? So I think, you know, the analysis was that he's just angry that this very, very successful crowdsourced, decentralized authority thing works. Because Wikipedia is like the, you know, the good side of the internet, you know, and Twitter is like the dark side of the internet, right? Like that made the author was Zoe Williams in The Guardian, made the comment and said, you know, if you could understand the difference between like good internet and bad internet, here it is. Wikipedia is good internet. Wikipedia is the global community, you know, functioning together, not needing to be regulated, not much anyway, and certainly not by outsiders, right? And producing something that's incredibly valuable, that's free, okay? Meanwhile, Facebook and Twitter, right? The exact opposite. Facebook for brevity, this I'm reading from the article. Facebook for brevity takes the same raw material, all the people in the world, and obviously all the information they have, and finds the worst in it. Facebook manages to wrinkle out things we didn't know we were capable of. Levels of vitriol, gullibility, and hysteria in between a scare ad for dark politics and a mesmerizing video of five types of mince baked around a kilo of cheese. Bit of paraphrasing, but I don't think civic tech gurus dwell much on the cheese. You know, like, right, exactly. How could these projects be so different? But if you could understand that, maybe you could see a pathway to building more Wikipedias and fewer Twitters. And I mean, Zoe's right. I agree. That's a good analysis. And she writes, I think it's a she. Zoe is usually a female girl, a female name. Wincing in scorn aside, Musk is after Wikipedia for a reason. The sight of something created socially that works is an insult to him. I would spend £2, that's pounds in England, £2 a month or more just for that. So, yeah. Look, and, you know, I admire a lot of the things that Elon Musk has done. But can we, I mean, no matter what else you think of Elon Musk, he's weird. Right? Right? I mean, and weird, not necessarily in a charming way all the time. And B, even though he makes good decisions, apparently enough of them to amass $250 billion worth of net wealth, he also makes some really terrible decisions. This is not among his good ones, right? 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
This Friday at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen this Friday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, join Pensacola Habitat for Humanity as they discuss their Weatherization Day open house, as well as upcoming events, maintenance workshops, and programs designed to improve our community and bring much-needed relief to those in need. Discover ways to volunteer and donate to enhance lives of so many in our community. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Michael, is it true?
Don't ask me about my business, Kate.
Good morning, 552, News Radio 92.3. Nothing like a anti-smoking message there from Franz Ferdinand. Well done. I'm Andrew Mitchell. Lick your cigarette and kiss me the lyrics. Oh, man. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Some new developments in the 2002 sniper shootings that terrorized Washington, D.C. Lee Boyd Malvo appeared in a Maryland court yesterday by video. The hearing was about a resentencing. He'll now be transferred from a Virginia prison to one in Montgomery County, Maryland. The 38-year-old was 17 when those attacks left 10 people dead in a span of just over 3 weeks.
Thank you for clarifying. He was the kid in that incident. Or, I mean, kid 17, but he was the young one, not the adult. Right. Go on.
Right. Absolutely. Negotiations between SAG-AFTRA and Hollywood Studios scheduled to resume today. Management had halted those discussions earlier this month. Union members are asking studios for better pay, protections against AI, and more residuals. And National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby says that U.S. forces are going to be postured appropriately in the Middle East over concerns that the war between Israel and Hamas could escalate into a wider conflict. Kirby says there's been an uptick of rocket and drone attacks by Iranian proxy groups against military bases housing U.S. personnel in Iraq and Syria now. The Pentagon planning to send more air defenses to U.S. air bases in that region.
Well, you heard the governor, you know, Governor DeSantis yesterday talking about his experience, and I know you know a lot of this too.
Absolutely,
from your experience,
yeah.
That, you know, there were as many, perhaps more, American servicemen killed by Iranian proxies fighting in Iraq, you know, that.
Right. When I was in Iraq, about the same time frame that Governor DeSantis was, actually, 2007, 2008, that time frame, there, most of the roadside bombs that were being found at that point were they were EFPs. They were the kind that would kind of, you know, go into the armored vehicles and explode once it
went
inside.
What does an EFP stand for?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I just can't remember that. But it was the type, it was kind of like in a mortar thing. It would like penetrate the armor and explode inside.
Explosively formed penetrator.
That's right. So
it's, I mean, specifically designed to be armor piercing rather than, yes, just like, you know, absolutely, a bunch of dynamite or something, or a C4.
But when we were finding those, I remember almost all of them were able to be traced. The materials were all traced back to Iran.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, that was stats that they were giving us, you know, at our meetings back then when we were, you know, learning about everything happening theater-wide. So it's just crazy. Yeah, it's been going on for a long time.
So at that time, even, you knew you were really fighting against Iran, at least in terms of who was providing the material that was being used to kill your guys.
Yeah, they were providing almost all the materials, and they were actually being manufactured at, like, precision machining shops over in Iran.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, armor piercing, whatever, is not necessarily that easy to produce.
No, it's not a crude type of, you know, roadside bomb. It's not a bunch of C4 piled up somewhere. You know, it's very precision.
And just for, because people may not know this, and I think maybe you said it, but in case they don't know, that's what you did for a living in Iraq, was you were involved in bomb disposal and, you know, IED detection, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I was a combat engineer, so that's what we did, was route clearance missions all day, every day.
Unbelievable. Well, sir, thank you so much. I always say, but for your service, you know, but also thanks for the perspective on that. That's helpful. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That's why people keep asking this question about, you know, well, what are we doing with regards to Iran? And that's why you got the special session that's being called now, because certainly Governor DeSantis knows, you know, who's, you know, even if the evidence cannot be tied for this particular set of attacks back to Iran, we know in general what's true, and we know what it's going to take to, you know, really make a difference in that part of the world is, look, if Iran continues to funnel money, material, and training into a region where there's conflict, you know, you're solving the symptom if you don't address the underlying cause, right? So if you don't deal with Iran, then you'll never get rid of the problem. Even you know, you put a little topical ointment on there to, you know, solve the bump, the rub, the itching, the whatever you got, but you're not dealing with the disease that's causing the rub, the bump, the itching, right? And that's basically the problem. 437-1620, 437-1620. This is kind of interesting. You have a, I know this part of the world only because I lived there for 2 years. I only lived in the Northwest for 2 years. It's a beautiful place to live. It is a horrible place to live. It's, you know, like some of the most scenic, amazing things in Oregon and Washington, and some of the most crazy political philosophies in the country. I mean, you know, Oregon is like the open drug state now. Like, you can, you know, you just want to go buy some heroin, you just go buy some heroin. I mean, like, it's just, you know, it's crazy. And I lived in Southern Oregon for 2 years, and I was working at the network. So now in Oregon, the place where they just recently got rid of the mandatory job protection of you're not allowed to pump your own gas, and you are required to recycle. I mean, not required, but, you know, it's pretty expensive if you don't do it, all that money. Anyway, now high schoolers do not need to demonstrate basic competency in reading, writing, or math to graduate for another 5 years, which started during COVID, which I'm mildly sympathetic to the idea that education right now is so bad during COVID, okay, that what are we going to do, fail everybody? I mean, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, because a diploma is a diploma. You can't just pass them because it's time, you know, because they're not prepared for the world and they don't have the skills, and then their diploma doesn't mean anything. But that is a decision that was made during COVID, is they didn't have to pass the basic competency tests anymore, which was an admission that the schools were not able to continue doing their job. But again, lockdown politics, you had, you know, like, unlike here, you couldn't go to school for a long time. Anyway, so in Oregon, they had that during the pandemic. And last week, the Oregon State Board of Education voted, this is unanimously, to continue suspending the graduation requirement through 2028. Do you know why? Because students of color are underperforming so dramatically on the test. Meaning, it must be racist. Or It could be that it's telling you something about the totality of facts around those students, and maybe we should address that instead of just stopping certification.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.